Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap with me, Eric Wiltshire, and the lovely Rachel Branston down there in Aussie land. Are you still there?
Yeah.
You stayed awake?
I'm very excited. Yeah, we're here a bit earlier than usual, so I'm very much there.
And another piece of... Are we being very antipodean this week? Apparently Rachel's wearing earplugs when she goes to the Australian Open final. Because she's so innocent.
Well, yes. I was... You need an ambulance for uncle.
Yeah, right, thank you. Uncle? Excuse me. I'm going to take umbrage with you over this. Now everybody's calling me uncle.
I know, but it's sort of stuck. I did it once a couple of years ago, and it found its feet.
It found fame.
I tried it with Uncle Lee. I call Uncle Lee the same, but it didn't find its feet with him for some reason.
No.
You've got Uncle, and it's missed. I call him Uncle as much as I call you Uncle.
Right.
But it seems that Andy Whitelaw is the worst offender.
No, it wasn't just that. Somebody actually said to me on a wireless station the other day, because I was helping somebody out, and... they said, hello to Uncle Eric. Great, I thought. Rachel Branston.
You take umbrage, but I take credit.
I love it.
It's become a thing. I love it.
Anyway.
Okay, what happened at the Australian Open? All right, so you know how people are... playing their tennis match, and they have their people sectioned off in various parts of the grandstand.
Yes.
So they have their coaching team, and they have their loved ones, and blah blah blah. So Kim Sears, who I think has something to do with Andy Murray,
it's his fiance.
His fiance. Thank you, because I don't know about tennis. She was seen muttering expletives. She had a bit of a rant when something happened. Mm-hmm. This is like the twirling story from last week. Tennis is such a peculiar game in that, actually, it's probably one of the nice things about it, in that it's very polite still. And the rules are really strict about how people
conduct themselves. When, of course, somebody says, I don't believe it! Or something like that, yeah.
Or, come on!
Yeah.
You can't be serious.
Yeah.
But so she was watching, and she didn't like what she was seeing, because the person who was playing opposite him, so you're going to make me say his name, aren't you?
Yep.
Thomas Berdych.
That's right.
Oh.
You got it right.
Yeah, I should be a newsreader. Yeah, I'm good at that.
You have to stick a broom handle up your back.
Oh, yuck. I hate that. Well, I wouldn't have to wear pants.
No, because nobody can see him, can they?
No, it's brilliant. No,
Rachel means trousers.
Yes, I do mean trousers. I don't mean underpants.
No, no.
When I mean underpants, I say undies, so don't worry.
Right, okay.
So anyway, there was a complaint. Berdych complained to the umpire about this conduct. And she wasn't standing up and screaming her head off.
Right.
You know, it sort of seems to be a bit of a non-story. It's just, what are your thoughts?
Do you think it's a bit sour grapes because he was losing?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And apparently Andy Murray was seen to say he always does this. So, you know, I think this guy's got a bit of a rep for being a bit of a spoil sport and being a bad sport and being a sour grapey and
that
sort of thing. I don't think it was. I mean, everybody was very tense.
He's a wuss.
Let's just call it what it is. Wussy.
Wussy. You are wussy.
You are a
Mr.
wussy.
Mr. Berdych, you are wussy. Don't whinge. If you've lost in a game, it's still sport. You lose graciously.
Yeah.
You lose graciously. The people out there in the auditorium, the centre, the arena, the tennis court, wherever, are people... who are actually normally paying so that you get lots of money.
Very much. I mean, when Rob was home last week, and when his brother was here as well, and his brother had come from Adelaide to come and see the Open.
You need to cough, don't you, Rach? Hold on, cough button's down. Rachel's having a good cough. Cough button off. There you go. See, it's marvellous.
Sorry, I'm old and I get croaky at night.
Was that croaky or cranky?
Well, not so much cranky. I'm pretty even-tempered most of the time. But, you know, they paid a lot of money for tickets that were just general admission. They weren't any special tickets. But, you know, you don't want that kind of carry-on. You really don't. And it, yeah, and it is known to be a sport that is, you know, known for its polite conduct. I mean, yeah, I don't understand why people get so tetchy. Bad sportsmanship, that shouldn't be allowed.
No, absolutely not. We could have an argument now, having just said whether we're
no, sport. We won't. We won't have an argument.
Won't we?
No.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Are we going to be on the same side?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Ghostbusters 3 is what we're talking about, boys and girls. And the reason we're talking about it is apparently it's going to be an all-female affair, i.e. all the actresses are going to be girls.
Nah.
Nah.
Boom! It's the worst idea. It's already getting a lot of heat on social media from people who love it. There was a release of a statement from, don't know who released it, but it was in all the trade mags. It was in Variety. It was in The Hollywood Reporter. It was in those sort of publications. And all the feedback has been really, really negative about this. Dan Aykroyd thinks it's a great idea. I think Harold Ramis would be rolling in his grave.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Dan Aykroyd's not in it.
No.
So he don't really care, does he?
Yes, he doesn't care, but it's his legacy.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a great idea. Now, the reason why it... I mean, I can see where they're trying to go. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon, who people might know if they watch Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
These actresses are all fine actresses. They're all funny actresses, particularly Melissa McCarthy, who's even been nominated for an Oscar for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a great idea. I know what they're trying to do, but no, you can't do that. You can't do Ghostbusters.
No, because I've got Ghostbusters in my mind now,
mm-hmm,
and I see blokes with pretend guns.
They could do a remake of Ghostbusters now with younger guys.
Yeah.
That might work.
Lookalikes.
They have to be really careful. Zach Galifianakis, who's one of my favourite people on the planet, he's so funny. He's yelled out at the top of his voice on Twitter,
yeah,
"Paul, I knew you wouldn't let me down." Now, he's really, really, really stoked at this idea, but I think he would be brilliant.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Oh, gosh, I'm admitting I know things about films again.
I'm so proud of you.
It's your fault. I'm sorry, but Ghostbusters 3, you might as well be doing a remake of The Lesbian Vampire Killers.
Yeah, or trying to do Steel Magnolias with boys.
Yes, it's not going to work. It just isn't going to work. Big flop, big flop, big flop, big flop, big flop, big flop. I'm looking, Rach, look over your shoulder. Just check over your shoulder. Everything all right?
Okay.
Everything okay?
Yeah, it appears to be, yeah.
Thank goodness for that. I'm just doing the same. Armed men, an armed man, sorry, he broke into the NOS, which is the Dutch national broadcaster, this week, and demanded airtime. And he got a gun.
I saw it on our news tonight. When it was finished, there was a camera switched on and he was seen surrendering. It was really bizarre. I thought, what's this? Is this is this one of those punked candid camera type deals? Like, what's happening? And I expected a green screen to pop up behind him with, you know, heaps of other guys with guns, but
it was
real. He was dead for real. Yeah, that's scary.
And I mean, he looked like a businessman.
He looked exactly, he was wearing a suit, tie, the whole works, and he looked very sharp. He looked like a regular guy going to work at, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
It was just very peculiar.
And I can't actually think when I've ever heard of NOS actually going off air. Mm. And they actually pulled it. The whole thing
and
went
good
down.
On them, good on them for doing it because, you know, it was a risky move.
Yeah.
But they must have, I think what they did studio trickery and had a monitor facing him which showed him on television so he would have believed that it was a live feed, but they in actual fact silenced his protest, as it were.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they should have done, and good on them. I mean, I really think this is very brave and very smart, and they would have had to act very quickly.
And, of course, where the building that they were in is a massive media complex with all sorts of broadcasters in there as well. It wasn't just NOS that are in there. So he could have done all sorts of damage because the media park, the media park in Hilversum, is absolutely enormous. But thank God they got him. I'm still going to look over my shoulder. Not ours anymore because I'm not there. How do people in Australia view Boris Johnson, if at all?
It's a bit of a caricature. He's a funny bloke with funny hair. Mm-hmm. And he comes over here quite often, actually, and he talks and he appears on a lot of our media, and he seems like he passes himself off as a guy who's pretty hip and happening and knows what's going on in the world and wants to bring everything into the now, and he's a bloke you can have a beer with, but he also seems to be fairly has his little quirky moments, so that's why I say caricature. He seems like a bit of a larger-than-life character.
Yeah, I just wondered if Australia saw him as a kind of quintessential British eccentric.
Oh, as a crazy Brit, yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's we think of him as, you know, as odd and peculiar and, you know, and a bit of a laugh, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Mayor Johnson has come out with some statements this week in his column, which is in a national newspaper in the UK. And he says that the terrorists that are going out, he's referring to the jihadists and ISIS. He said these terrorists are tortured men who are rejected by women and are in desperate need of self-esteem. If you look at the physiological profile about bombers, they typically look at pornography, well, they say porn, and are literally, beginning with a W, bleep. And he goes on this rant about...
That point about pornography is actually, I've heard that before, and The guys that were responsible for 9/11, one of the hotel rooms that they used had actually purchased pornography on the pay TV in the actual hotel. I've heard that before. I have heard that before. So I think you might be right there. But as for the rest, I don't know.
Yeah. But he did come out with a couple of sensible bits after all this rant, where he said, this problem can only be addressed if Muslim authorities and clerics find a powerful and compelling way of setting up an alternative narrative for young people that makes this seem irrelevant.
And I think they do. They need to phase it out themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful thing, because just blaming Muslims en masse.
No, we don't do that. We hate that.
Do you?
Yeah, we don't. Well, we on this program don't like when Muslims are targeted.
No, we don't like that anyway. But
we don't like that at all. We don't. But I mean, I agree with him there. I think if he can make things, he's saying that they can make it, you know, sort of passe and not worth the trouble of doing if they get to the young people and do something quite aggressive. And I agree. I think they really need to retrain the brain. The thing that always puzzled me, and maybe it's a cultural difference and why I don't understand it. When something happens here, whatever it is, trees get chopped down or an animal's endangered or people are being marginalised, we get out and bang on drums and walk through the streets and make a heck of a noise.
Yep.
So why aren't moderate Muslims protesting against these other people?
I suppose in England, to be honest, thinking about it now, that if you get sucked into the English culture, England is not a place that goes out and shouts and screams.
No, I guess, yeah.
It is very cricket, you know.
Yes.
It's very, very that way orientated. And I always remember, and I'm not trying to belittle this story at all, you know, it was on the news in England that Ireland were protesting about a fishing rod licence fee. And you go, right. What? Hey? What?
Yeah.
Because the Irish said no, and they weren't going to have it, and it failed. But, you know, the Brits wouldn't jump up and shout like that, whereas I suppose to some degree it's even more so in Slovakia, where people go, no, don't rock the boat, just get it sorted out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They don't want to make a noise. It's not their way to do so. So right. I guess I've answered my own question.
Yes, there you go. Australia's into what looks like a rather large bill of compensation for the which is a result of the Child Abuse Compensation Bill, which leads me to think this isn't such a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing, and it's been a very long time coming. I mean, you know, the thing about the Roman Catholic Church and the abuse and concealing evidence is not a story that's unique to Australia. Mm. But what is unique to us, I think, is the fact that the people that need to have stood up and said, okay, this is not, we need to address this issue. Mm. We can't sweep this under the carpet any longer. And people, more and more people, as time goes by, are coming forward, and they're getting brave because they're seeing others do it. So it's about time we did something for them and not just hide the church. So the justices have come out and said, okay, let's have some money, and we can't fix anything, but we can acknowledge that it happened, and we can start offering compensation. And I really think it was a smart thing to do. And, you know, to be fair, it's not just the Roman Catholics. It's the Anglican Church is under scrutiny for this as well. It's widespread amongst the churches, amongst the traditional churches, and somebody has to stand up and say, yes, we validate your concerns, and we say that, yes, it did happen, and yes, you know, we're now going to compensate you for your emotional distress and whatever else may have happened to you as a result.
Yeah, I quite agree with you. Okay, let's lighten it up a little bit, boys and girls.
Let's.
I love this guy. This happened in Kent in the UK, and a dozy burglar has robbed a house. That's nothing new.
No.
What was new was he volunteered to wear an electronic tag rather than go to prison, and yet he still went and burgled a house.
That's just some pathological behaviour right there. I mean, you know, it's really, he might as well just walked into jail with a big bag of money with a dollar sign on the front of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it beggars belief. I really think this guy might have a genuine mental problem.
Yeah. Well, apparently,
really genuine.
This guy was wearing a proper satellite tag. And it's rather like it was GPS, basically, to all intents and purposes. And this guy, Jason Farmer, was actually pinpointed by the police to the scene and time of the raid. He's now in jail for 3.5 years.
Why? He lit a candle.
He did. It's like, hello, I'm over here, sir. Please, Mr. Policeman, nick me. I mean, what?
He didn't even go with a torch. He had to light a candle when he was in the house.
They found the two stolen laptops at the same time. Oh, for goodness sake. I mean, what? Anyway, he says, moving on, that was completely balmy. Apparently, this is Bill Gates talking out this week, boys and girls. That's mm-hmm. Mr. Microsoft's, the founder of Microsoft. And he's actually suggesting that artificial intelligence could be more worrying than Bent Lee. In other words, you know, his car.
Himself, yeah, the Chrysler.
Yeah, the Chrysler. Bill Gates reckons that artificial intelligence could pose a serious threat to humanity if not kept under control. He's been watching Star Trek again, hasn't he?
He has, and he said he's watching Star Trek, and he's saying, "Well, that's never going to happen." But AI is really dangerous.
Yes, but do you know what?
You know, Stephen Hawking said the same thing, and before I saw this movie about him today, I put a lot of credence in what Stephen Hawking says. He's probably the smartest man on the planet, and he knows about artificial intelligence. This is a guy that studied, you know, everything, literally,
yep.
Everything.
Yep.
So I'm concerned too, actually. I've seen many movies where the robots rebel.
But logically, they're actually right. Logically, yes, they are right. Because if you can make a supercomputer that controls itself in decades or even centuries ahead, then it can make another supercomputer in its own image. And then it goes, we don't need you humans. You can get out of the way. You're in the way, mate. Bye.
Because what they do is they just do whatever the smartest answer is.
Yes.
And the smartest answer is that we can run this quickly, more quickly and more efficiently than this. So we'll just do it. And don't worry about it. Has anybody seen 2001 A Space Odyssey? Oh.
Oh, yes.
You know, that was made years ago. And
absolutely.
You.
Yeah. anyway, your fault now.
Okay.
It's your fault. I'm blaming you.
Sorry.
I'm blaming
all
you.
Right. I'll take it for the team.
Thank you. No! No, because I'm not involved.
I'll take it for my team. And when I say my team, I mean the iSheep.
Yes. A corporate earnings world record.
Mm.
A world record. You bunch of numpties. If Apple has made a world record of profit, that means they're charging you too much for what you're buying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay for mine, so Rob pays for
mine. Yeah, you don't care, do you? Poor old Rob. Yeah, marvellous.
Poor old Rob. That's why he's in the Mulga earning money, so that I can have the gadgets. But I don't know. I think...
What's your name, Jar Jar Gabor?
People are yes, darling.
Yes,
but I know that Apple people have been buying these smartphones for years, and they were the first ones to have them out. So people know them, and people who use them keep buying the new ones. And I mean, really, Apple know that. So of course they're going to charge whatever they want. You know, it's just they know that people are going to keep buying it. They know that people who already have their brand on their brain are going to keep buying their brand because it works and they know how to use it. And people like me who are getting more and more terrified of new things and don't want to try anything new because I don't know how to work it and it makes me cry, I'm just going to buy what I know.
Well, the thing is, do you know what annoys me?
What?
I suspect there's more Apple product lying around in cupboards than you'd ever dream possible. I really do. And do you know, that really, really annoys me. And it annoys me because it's waste.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can say right now, I've got a... Sitting next to me... Actually, I'm talking to you from my boudoir. Mm. But in my bedside table, I have my iPhone 3, which I only switched over to an iPhone 5S a couple of months ago because my iPhone 3 was kind of, you know, losing its guts.
Thank you. So thank you. Thank you.
So it's sitting in there.
If you've got, say, an iPhone 1... or whatever it was called, and you try and use it today, it won't work.
Yeah, no.
That's a fact. Now, yeah. I've got a great thing, and my boss laughs at me for it, but I cannot throw tech away. And in fact, from the parent company, we recycle, and I'm not showing off, we do it. We recycle computers, laptops that are 3 and 4 years old, even older, and we give them to people who maybe aren't as fortunate as some others in the world. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
way we do that, because of licensing, is we cannot use the latest Windows on there as much as we'd like to because it just costs too much money. We can't do it. So what I do is on the lower spec machines, I stick Android on, and on the higher spec machines, I put a version of Linux on, and they work perfectly. In fact, that old 8-year-old machine I was talking about a few minutes
ago.
The
snow machine.
Yeah, the snow machine is an old Windows laptop which is now running on Linux, and it's streaming pictures of the wonderful... It's really snowing heavy now. The beautiful snow outside. Now, you can't do that with an Apple machine. You can't just say, well, I won't have that on there, I'm going to do that, because it's a nightmare. So you end up wasting... what is not, it's not a finite resource that you put inside computers. You know, it just isn't. And I just think that's terribly wasteful. But that's just me ranting. That's just me ranting on about something that's completely irrelevant, I suppose, to most people. The best way to improve your memory is shocking. Literally.
Well, yes, it is shocking. And it's the best way to get a perm.
Only a girl would think of that.
Nobody wants to do that, because that's terrible. Perms are awful, so please don't do it.
No, but apparently they've worked out, or somebody's done a study, that the best way of helping people suffering with the early stages of Alzheimer's disease is to give them shock treatment. Are we going back to Victorian days or what?
Yeah, I mean, they say the same about treating depression. They say the same about treating psychosis. They say the same about treating a lot of things. I don't think that it's a great idea.
We'll go on to our high-speed news bit now, as we get towards the end of the show already, believe it or not. Imagine Think about it. The former home of John Lennon's mother is to be sold at auction. Imagine. I couldn't resist it.
Oh, try.
Somebody's got to keep the red tops going. This little semi-detached in Bloomfield Road in Liverpool was home to Julia Lennon in the 50s. And they reckon it's going to sell for about £120,000. And it'll go under the hammer in the town hall in Liverpool. So if you want to get a bit of, I suppose, Beatles memorabilia, that'd be a good one to have, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. It would. It's a nice, tidy amount of money people couldn't have probably afford.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit of history there.
Absolutely. And in America, so much for homeland security then, boys and girls, that they keep wittering on about. And I say that as a 17-year-old lad dressed in a white lab coat has been parading himself off as a doctor for a month in a hospital in Florida.
He watched Catch Me If You Can too many times.
He did, didn't he? You're right.
Yes.
You're right. You're right.
That's
you're
not
right.
You.
You're right. But I mean, can you imagine what damage he could have done?
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous. I mean, you know, you really I don't want to think about it. It's too horrific.
It's scary though, isn't it?
The could be's are terrifying. Well, the fact that it happened, I mean, they've got to really look at their measures. They need to have a chat with the guy about, you know, the guy with the drains too.
Yeah, it genuinely, seriously scares me.
It's terrifying.
You know why? It's because, you know, America talks about this homeland security, blah, 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 and how they're wonderful at doing everything. And yet this kid can be in the hospital, and it kind of, for me, puts everything they do into question about security. Mm. And that really worries the pants off me.
Yeah,
and in my case, that isn't good. Worrying the pants off me because it just scares the daylights out of me. It really, really does. And I don't. I mean, I'm not making too light a point there, but the fact is that the whole thing brings into question that which America claims it's really good at, which is sorting everything out.
Yeah, well, they seem to be looking in the wrong direction a lot of the time. I'm just befuddled. They're sort of paying attention to things they needn't and not looking at things they should.
Yeah, exactly. Quick message in. What was the? Oh, okay. This is not guaranteed to be on all the time, boys and girls. I'm just playing, honestly. I'm a big kid. If you go to Ustream, where all the television video programs are, is U-Stream, and if you put in webcam. Space Pop Brad, that's where the webcam is, and you can watch the snow. And it is snowing heavily now. Very, very heavily.
Take care, people of Pop Brad.
Yes, because it is snowing lots and lots and lots. Getting overheated, it's time for you to get hot there now, isn't it?
Melbourne's very mild, so it doesn't get terribly hot here that I notice. But now we're starting to get into the cooler weather now. We're coming into autumn soon.
Yes, and the temperature?
Temperature right now is a lovely 13 degrees. It's beautiful.
It is. I'll quickly tell you, because I'll look on my phone ever so quick. -3. Marvellous.
Beautiful.
At which point we've got to say bye-bye, Rach.
Bye-bye, Rach.
Was that it?
Yeah, that's always it.
Right. We'll be back next week with you, boys and girls. Same place, same time, same channel, and all the other bits of barking mad things that I normally say at the end of a programme. And you have a great week till next week. We'll probably be back with himself next week as well, which will lower the tone of the conversation as normal. We'll see you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.